Well, it is that time of year again, isn't it? And you're what? Don't you worry about that. I'll show you in due time. Halloween is coming. And, you know, it's quite an interesting time of year. It's this time of year where kids run around from house to house and they get chocolate or they get candy or whatever they end up getting, and they're all excited. They get dressed up in the costumes and they put the masks on you. If you're a parent, you know how it is. And of course, they go to school and they have the traditional parade. When I was in school as a kid, you would come with your costume on and that's what you did. You paraded around the school. I guess I know in my kids' school, they still do that. It's Halloween time. It's this day where they dress up and they go out, and it's so fun because they're able to dress up and to be something that they're really not. That's kind of the fun part of it. In fact, I know my son Jordan, I don't know what's going on this year, but I know a few years ago he dressed up and he put this mask on. Is anybody familiar? Right? The Iron Man mask, and he had this little suit on with these little fake muscles, and I mean, just, you know, funny, cute little guy, right? And that's kind of what they do. I know one year my niece Rachel, my oldest niece, and Amanda and I just love Rachel. She's in her final year of school. She's going to be a nurse. And I know as a kid, we would just love to hang out with her. And we remember one night, it was Halloween, I had a mask that was just a white face, but it glowed in the dark. Okay, so I thought, this would be awesome. So what I did is I said to Amanda, and I actually kind of pride her to do this, to go along with me, is I put the mask on, I went back into the sunroom at that time, at my parents' house at that time, and it was pitch black, and I told her, just bring her in. So Amanda brought her in, and she doesn't know what's going on, she brought her in, and there she's seeing nothing but this glow-in-the-dark mask, and I just said, hi, Rachel, and she just freaked out, she just screamed. I mean, I'm such a horrible uncle, I know, but do I regret doing it? Absolutely not. It was awesome. Great night for kids. Excuse for adults to have a party. Masks. Funny thing, isn't it? That happens on Halloween. It's interesting to see how we as adults wear masks in our lives. Some of us wear masks from time to time. And in fact, some of us, we spend our entire adult life wearing a mask. What you see is not always necessarily what you get, is it? We live in a world full of people wearing masks, and can I just say this? Some of the best mask wearers, the most skilled mask wearers, are actually sitting in the church. People portraying something or someone that they're not. Social media, it's such a great tool. It's such a great thing, isn't it? We can hide behind the screen. We can pretend and portray something that we're not. We can create this fantasy idea of self, and we can be whoever we'd like to be. We'd say, listen, if I could, here's the deal, okay? If I only had the muscles of Morris Kesselring, if I only had the handsome good looks of Scott Douglas, and if I only had the polarizing personality of a Jim Stroh, maybe not, but I go to Facebook, I go somewhere, I go to a social media site, and I create that, and I'd have the new me. I'd have the me that I could just portray to people. I can even put up a fake picture if I want. Maybe some of us don't do that. Maybe some of us live in that masquerade. Has anybody ever been to a masquerade ball? Anybody? Actually, you've been to a masquerade ball, right? It's quite a thing. We see it on TV or we see it on the video there, this beautiful thing, this elegant, clean, this unblemished environment. We're dressed to impress. We put the masks on and we mingle and we twirl around and we're doing all these things like, you know, I don't even know what that was, but we do these things. It's so great to pretend that we're something that we're not, because we want to just hide. We hide behind the mask because we don't want anybody to know about that. We don't want anybody to know about that or that or that. If you're like me, maybe you've become skilled at times at putting on the mask. Maybe we don't wear it all the time. Maybe some of us just wear it sometimes. I'd have to admit that I wear the mask sometimes. You want to see my masks? Okay, this is the proud Tim. I hide behind my position, my title, my accomplishments. I'm responsible. I've got it all figured out. The reality is, there's a lot of moments I struggle feeling adequate. A lot of moments I say, man, am I really good enough? Am I really smart enough? Can I really do this? It's the proud Tim. Well, how about this mask? Oh, you're going to like this mask. I like this mask. See this mask? I mean, I'm so holy, I want to jump off the, you know, I want to jump off the thing here. I mean, this is the, you know this mask. This is, you all know me by Pastor Tim. I'm Pastor Tim. I'm that spiritual leader. I'm the guy that can't possibly let you down. More spiritual than most. In fact, so spiritual, I pray every time. I pray all the time. I must be ahead of the curve from everybody. I use the big Christian, the words, and I pray the big Christian prayers. It's Holy Tim. You know Holy Tim. Well, Holy Tim goes through a lot of dry seasons spiritually just like anybody else. Holy Tim asks why. Holy Tim also questions God. Holy Tim even goes through a lot of mornings where he would just rather sleep in than spend time in prayer. But he puts on the mask. It's Holy Tim. Or how about this mask? This is Happy Tim. This is happy-go-lucky. You ask me, how am I doing? It's great. It couldn't get any better. Life is grand. I smile. I joke around. Everything is so amazing. Everything is so awesome. It's the Happy Tim. Sometimes I don't want to let you know. Maybe I feel confused or just plain scared. Have fears, have doubts. Not sure what to do, but I want to put on the mask for Happy Tim because I don't want everybody to really know the real me. The smile can hide the fears and the doubts in my life. I got masks. I probably have a couple others. My guess is you probably have a few as well. Don't you be playing tricks on me in this Halloween season, okay? You probably have a few as well. We want to hide things from others. And most importantly, we want to hide things from God. We want to hide things from God. We keep from being that real, authentic, open self in our relationship with others, in our relationship with God. And here's the deal. I'm going to just lay it out right here over these next several weeks. This series is all about dropping the masks in our lives. That's what it's about, bottom line. Now, for some of us, we got a lot of masks. For some of us, we got a lot of masks that we put on, and we're wearing them all the time. Some of us, we put them on from time to time. It's going to be challenging, and it's going to be tough. Here's the deal. We want to drop the mask. Because I want to be the me that God intended me to be. I want you to be the person that God intends you to be. And we cannot be those people until we drop the mask and we get real with each other and we get real with God. Where did this mask thing happen? Where did it all come from? Where did it all start anyways? Well, go back again, right to the beginning of time, to Genesis 2. You've got God creating the world. And then after he creates the world, he creates man, and he says, this is not a good thing. You need a partner. You need someone for life. And so it creates woman, and we have Adam and Eve, and they're created, and they're sharing life. They're doing life together in such an amazing environment. This environment, this Garden of Eden, this place where things are so vibrant. You've got the flowers, you've got the trees, you've got the shrubs, you've got the springs. Nothing's polluted, nothing's bad. You've got fruit and I don't know, vegetables and cows and sheep. I don't know. You've got all this kind of stuff. It is the perfect setting. It is the perfect environment. It's the perfect scenario. Why is it the perfect scenario? Because they are in perfect community and perfect relationship with each other and with God. In fact, Scripture says this is how perfect things are. Verse 25, the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. So, no summer, no winter clothing, no uniforms to go to work in. You don't have to iron your own shirts. In fact, you don't even have to worry about what shoes to wear for that specific particular occasion. It's just absolutely perfect. It just works out. A couple days ago, we celebrated my son's 9th birthday. Jordan's 9 years old. The time just passes by. And I can remember when he was just a few years old. And I go upstairs, and the funny thing was, you go upstairs and you'd see this little guy. He didn't begin to walk. He didn't start to walk. He started to run. That's kind of how he developed, right? He's just going. And every other night, you'd go upstairs and boom, he'd be running by. And all you'd see is this little streak of a guy. He just loved to streak after the bath. That's just what he loved to do. He just felt that sense of innocence to go do that. He just wanted to feel the open air. Well, why? What's the deal? There's a sense of innocence. Sense of innocence. Adam and Eve didn't feel embarrassed. They didn't feel self-conscious. They felt no shame. Interesting, when you see the word shame there, in the original Hebrew, it's actually called bush, which means ashamed or disappointed, confused, dry. There was no reason for them to feel any of that. They were absent from anything and everything that would cause divide in their relationship with each other and in their relationship with God. They were absent from any of that. And because there was no sin, there was no shame. And because there was no shame, they didn't have to put on any masks. Well, then we see that the serpent comes by, and the serpent really is Satan. You don't believe there's a spiritual enemy? There is a spiritual enemy waging war in spiritual realms, and it started right from the beginning. Satan is posing as a serpent, and he comes up to Eve, and here's what he says, starting at verse 1. He says to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the fruit, or you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." You don't think you'll die, do you? Really? You don't want to know more? Wouldn't it be great to be like God? Now, I don't mean like God in his image, but like not his subordinate, but equal to God. Wouldn't that be a great thing? See, that's what Satan does. Satan kind of twists and he churns things and he causes us to second guess God's way for life. And that's what he did with Adam and Eve. And of course, many of us know that Adam and Eve would be convinced by Satan that, yes, it's a good thing. Eat the apple. Go ahead. All's going to be great. And they do. And here's what it says in verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. And they realized that they were what? They were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and they made coverings for themselves. Panic sets in. Panic sets in at that point. There's fear. There's a sense of embarrassment, self-consciousness, a sense, their sense of innocence is completely gone. Their shame. Folks, welcome to the first masquerade. Adam and Eve, this was embarrassing. I don't feel good enough now to show you, to reveal myself to you. I feel like I need to hide something. I can no longer reveal the real me. I feel guilty. I don't want you to know what I've done. I need to hide the shame. That's what they're saying to each other. That's what they're feeling. So what do? They cover up. And ever since sin would enter the world through them and, of course, affected each one of us, we have the tendency to hide ourselves and to put the masks on. We feel shame. We feel guilt. And we're most fearful of the exposure. So we live in this kind of masquerade sort of a thing. Jesus despised this way of living. He despised the whole deal of masquerade. Now, what do you mean masquerade? Well, he despised hypocrisy. So what's that got to do with masquerade? Here's the interesting thing. When you go through the Gospels and you read through the Gospels, he despised this idea of hypocrisy. He called out hypocrites, which were usually the religious people. They were usually the religious leaders, and he would call them hypocrites. And if you take a word at the, if you take a look at the word hypocrite, the word he's using, it was actually pronounced hypocrites. And here's what it meant. Here's what he was saying. An actor playing a role. Someone wearing a mask to misrepresent reality. That's what he was saying. He despised it. He hated it. He objected to it. Well, if you really knew me, you wouldn't like me. I got to put the mask on. If you really knew me, you wouldn't be able to accept me. I got to put something on. If you really knew me, you wouldn't love me. These are things we say to ourselves, and we feel like we have to put up the mask. And imagine for a second, if we think that people are thinking that about us, imagine what we're thinking God thinks of us. I wonder what God would think if he really knew. And of course, we know he knows, but we still go through the process. Such a deep sense of guilt and shame. And isn't it amazing that we take the shame from whatever happened and we ended up connecting it to who we are? Isn't that something? We take the shame and we take the guilt from whatever happened, and we end up connecting it to who we are. We actually say that, well, this is my identity. We form our identity. We shape our identity around it. There's marital issues or something, and a spouse says, oh, I just must be a terrible person. I must be a terrible spouse. Someone who had a company, I don't know, they went bankrupt, let's say. They went bankrupt, and what do they say? They say, no, my company didn't go bankrupt. I just must be a failure of a person. And we tag it to ourselves, and we shape our identity around this. And then, of course, when we shape our identity around it, we believe that the only safe way to go is to put on the mask and hide. I'm just going to smile and let everybody know everything's fine, even though it's not fine. Well, I know that we went bankrupt. There's no way I'm telling my spouse. I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to keep pretending I'm going out to work every day because it's a lot easier to sit at Starbucks for 10 hours a day than to actually let my spouse know. I couldn't do that. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God, and he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. You see, Adam and Eve's shame caused them to actually hide from the one who did create them. Isn't that a crazy thing to think? Isn't it funny when you look at these stories, you just think, like, what were you thinking in Adam? How could you hide from God, Adam and Eve? God's an all-powerful God. He's an all-knowing God. He's an all-present God. That is the craziest thing that you could possibly do, Adam and Eve. What were you possibly thinking? Well, we do it too, don't we? We might know it intellectually, but we still do. We still live like that because it feels safer. There's something about it. We don't feel so exposed. So we try to hide too. But then what's God said to him? God says in verse 9 and 10, he says, but the Lord God called to the man, hey, Adam, where are you? Adam, where'd you go? Adam says, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid. Do you really think God didn't know where he was? Of course God knew where he was. God knew where he was. I think God wanted Adam to realize where Adam was. He was naked. He was afraid. He was exposed. He was ashamed. I did some horrible things. How could I possibly be forgiven? I'm so ashamed of this. What are they going to think? It was a horrible, terrible experience, and people tell me it should never have happened to me, but I just feel so guilty. I feel like it was my fault anyways. How am I ever going to be accepted? You see, we think at times that hiding is less painful than taking off the mask, so we keep the mask on through life. Now, that doesn't mean that keeping on the mask is not painful, it's incredibly painful. It's just we think that the alternative is even worse. Of course, God would go and he would cast judgment on the serpent, on Satan. He would cast judgment and punish Adam and Eve. And because of the sin that now enters the world, this perfect relationship between us and God, it's now tarnished. A divide has happened. And the result is that they would be banished from the garden. But here's what I want you to connect with, and what I want you to catch as we wrap up today and as we go into our series. Verse 21. The Lord God, in spite of saying, you can't be in this place, you need to go out. We cannot have this perfect relationship anymore. I am a completely holy God. There's a sin. There's a divide here. Your sin has caused this division. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. So in order for Adam and Eve to not feel this guilt, to not feel this shame, to not feel so exposed, God would actually go and he would sacrifice an animal. Interesting, because God declared that everything was good and that it was like his job was sort of done in creating and doing things and working. And he would actually step out and he would actually do a little more work by sacrificing an animal and going and making these skin of garments so that he could cover them to make sure that Adam and Eve were both clothed. That blows my mind about God. Because here's the deal. God, even right from the beginning of humanity, was already working on restoring humanity back to his blessings. His blessing of us being able to somehow connect to his presence. How? Because he would cover and he would clothe Adam and Eve. And he would protect them ultimately from what caused them shame and what was motivating them to hide from God. Can I say this to you today? That God is able to clothe so we don't have to hide. Oh, guys. God is able to clothe so you don't have to hide. Well, what's that going to take for us to drop our masks? Well, there's help along the way. I don't think it's just, okay, I'm going to drop my mask and God's going to make it all better and everything's great. No, no, no. We have masks on because we're covering some significant things in our lives. Maybe it's accountability that's going to help this process. Maybe it's resetting our priorities. Maybe it's changing habits. Maybe it's surrender. Maybe it's a sense of humility. Maybe it's going to take you seeking professional counsel to help you through. You must do that. These are the steps along the way. But what I want to say this morning is I hope that if you're carrying a mask, it would begin right here. It's got to begin somewhere. You got masks? God never, ever intended for you and I to live through life putting the masks on. I know Happy Tim. It's something that I would struggle with. And that doesn't mean because you see me smile that I'm hiding something from you, okay? It doesn't work exactly like that. The proud Tim, the holy Tim. God does not intend for this. So what's this idea of clothing? What's this idea of covering? Here's what I do. In spite of struggling with these things from time to time, for example, I choose to let Christ clothe me. I choose to let Christ cover me. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm dropping the mask, and God is going to clothe me. God is going to cover me. He's going to cover the shame. He's going to cover the fear. He's going to cover the feeling of inadequacy. He's going to cover the sense of not feeling like I'm good enough. He's going to cover the embarrassment. Maybe he's even going to cover the failure. Not maybe, he's going to cover the failure. All the things that would cause me, all the things that would cause you to put on the masks. And then I just say, okay, God, cover that and clothe me. Clothe me with your grace. Clothe me with your love. Clothe me with your acceptance. Clothe me with a sense of healing in my life. Yes, do I need people to walk with me along the way? God sends those people. Might I need a professional help along the way and counsel? Yes, I might need that. Scars go deep. Wounds go deep. but I ask God to cover me, and I ask God to be my lead and to be my covering, to be my clothing. And if God can be my clothing, I don't have to hide. And here's the deal as I close this morning. We need God to cover us and we need God to clothe us, because that's the first step in me being the me that God intended me to be. That there are no more masks, that there is no more hiding, that what you see is what you get, but you know what? God's cleaning me up. He's clothing me, he's covering me, and he's cleaning me up so that I can be the me that he's called me to be.